Don't faint that I'm just getting up here. I'm going to be brief this morning. We had a little extra music, a little longer preliminaries. It's been a heavy week. Number of family issues in the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, rather, that a number of you have been praying for, and we appreciate that very, very much. Just going through some heavy family issues. And of course, then had the tragic death of James Thomas. Be perfectly honest, even though I had set and written some notes on the book of Numbers, chapter 33, yesterday morning I told one of my prayer partners, I said, I feel really blank. I like to feel very inspired about a message. I like to feel like I have something that I know God has given. I don't ever want to waste your time. I've been pastoring for 32 years. I've been preaching for about 40 years, actually. And so, to be perfectly honest, I can make a four-point outline from about any chapter just to make a four-point outline. But that's not what we want to do. We want to have things that God has given, that's God-breathed, that's inspired. The Bible says that Scripture is all God-breathed, it's inspired, and we want messages to be inspired. And so yesterday morning, I text my one prayer partner, Dave, and I said, Dave, I'm very blank this morning. I don't know if somebody else is supposed to speak or... Got my mind on this family that's had this recent loss, and I need to get my head in the game. And it was interesting that about 30 minutes after I contacted my prayer partner, which verified he had gotten my message, I received a text from someone in the church, and that someone will know who it is, and I don't need to say, and I don't know that they would want me to say. But I received a text from someone who had no idea how I was feeling. And that text said something really interesting. That text said, good morning, Pastor Tom. Thank you for praying for me. I wasn't sure, but I felt my heart impress me to give you this. The words, lose heart. This has been coming to me a lot. Lose heart. I answered and said, yes. I feel a big issue with true Christians right now is losing heart. So easy to just shut down, turn to pleasure or numbness or false reality to cope with inner stress and pain instead of turning to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. This individual, after I'd asked my prayer partner to pray, sent me this text, said, I keep having lose heart come to me. It's come to me a lot, lose heart. And I said, yes, I feel a big issue with true Christians right now is losing heart. So easy to just shut down. You know, the pressures become great in life. We just kind of shut down. We can turn to pleasure, turn to numbness, or a false reality, which is what the whole medicating ourselves is, false reality, because when that melts away and the next morning comes, the problems are still there. We can turn to a false reality to cope with our stress and pain instead of turning to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. God spoke to me through that lose heart, and then 5 minutes later, I got a text from another source. None of these folks had communicated, and God gave me the verse, Galatians 6:9, that's here on the wall. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. So I want to talk to you briefly this morning about becoming worn down, becoming discouraged. Don't quit. Simple as those two words are, that's for somebody this morning. Don't quit. How easy to lose heart. I believe we're living in the last days, the season of the return of the Lord. I believe the return of the Lord is on the horizon. And if you read in the scripture, one of the signs of his coming is the stress and difficulties in our world around us. Jesus said in John, in the world you will have phlipsis. You will have tribulation. The Greek word phlipsis. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Many of you on the sound of my voice are fighting some difficult things. Bouncing back from addictions. So proud of the 12-step group. Appreciate so much the work that Vince puts into that and Dan puts into that. So appreciative of the biker ministry. So appreciative of the mentoring group and some of the things those guys in there are bouncing back from. And so appreciative of the women's Bible study and women seeking God. It's awesome that on a Tuesday night, nobody's glorying in numbers. Nobody's glorying in numbers, but it's awesome that on a Tuesday night, 25 to 30 women will show up when the Bible study is called Women Seeking God. Many of you are coming out of difficult marriages, difficult relational situations, breakups and hurts and backgrounds that are difficult. The scheme of the enemy is to wear you down. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. God has often brought this verse, Galatians 6:9. It's a good short verse to memorize. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. And sometimes it's the little things that just kind of push you over the edge. I want you to know that we're all in this together. That was a line of my father's. He would often say, we're all in this together. We're a family. We sang a couple of weeks ago a song we revived from the past that we used to love to sing. We are all going home. We are a family and we are all going home. The blessed hope of heaven. But this life isn't easy and it's a cursed world. And I personally believe that since 9/11, we've lost the covering on our nation. And I think it's interesting, the national disasters that have happened since. And I think there's real spiritual significance in that. And I personally believe that we've lost our covering. And at 9/11, God allowed us to see that. There are certain things that go with honoring God. Whether you're a Christian or not, if you use Christian principles in your business, you'll receive blessing and favor from that because God's word is powerful. If you're a businessman or woman and you use the golden rule and you treat your customers like you'd want to be treated, you will benefit from that. And even though we know this hasn't been a nation where everyone was saved and knew the Lord and walked with the Lord, we know that for sure. And we know that all the founding fathers weren't Christians. Some were, but some weren't. We know there's even been some treacherous people in the history of our country. But it was a country that followed the principles and the precepts of God. And it was a country that the Supreme Court was based on scriptural principles and decisions were made. And in every home, Daddy used to say that three generations back, every home had a Bible. I think that's probably pretty close to right. And there's some blessing and favor that come. The promises of the Old Testament is saturated with the promises that come from obeying God's precepts and His laws. And we have drifted from that. And I think I shocked everybody on 9/11. And I don't say this sarcastically, but there was something bothering me about everybody waving flags and singing God Bless America. Something wasn't hitting me right about that. And I was grieved on it. I thought, Lord, why am I not? I've always kind of liked that song. And boy, it's great to see morale and it's great to see some national morale stirring. Why am I grieved when I hear God Bless America? And God says, clear to me as anything. And He said, because they're missing the message. I have blessed America, but now they've shooed me off the courthouse lawns, and now they've said to get the prayer out of the schools, and they've said, we'll prosecute you if you speak of God. And it's not blessing, and these people that are waving their flags and saying, God bless America, are missing what's being said. I'm removing my blessing from America. And I remember I got up on that Sunday morning, and I remember it was all I could do to keep from sobbing and crying because I felt almost guilty because many in the community were celebrating, and boy, all the national stuff, and oh, man, let's wave the flag. And I felt a heaviness, and I'm like, Lord, what is this about? I believe I'm a messenger. I'm just a little guy. It's just a small pond that I'm in, but I believe I am a messenger. What is it you're saying to me? And someone made the statement to me this morning. They said, well, where is God in all of this? And I looked at him without even realizing it, and I believe God spoke through me, and I said, well, I believe he's left. I believe he's left. And they said, he's left. And I said, well, yeah, we've been telling him to for 20 years. We've been telling him for 20 years. We want him to leave. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's easily grieved. Now, how does that apply to individual believers? Oh, have your theology straight here. I believe we've lost a national covering. I believe we don't have the covering on our country like we had at one time, and I think we're seeing a lot of things as a result of that. But during the time of despair is when the individual person can be closer to God than ever before. The suffering churches of history were the ones that knew Christ the most. The churches that were persecuted in the past were the ones that were most connected. So for the individual Christian, this is an awesome time to live. My mom, before she died, made the statement to me. She said, these are incredible days to live. Because we are seeing the results of a cursed world, and we are seeing the results of the covering being lifted. And there might be spurts of blessing as various pockets of people seek God. I'm not saying that some of that can't happen, but I believe as a whole we've lost our blessing. But individually, the promises are precious, and you grab onto them. These are times to dig in, and God will be incredibly close to you, and it's in the hard times when he visits you the closest. The lilies are in the valley. Does that make sense? And so I needed to say that and speak that as a messenger, and I believe that is the case. But don't anybody run with that and say, well, the pastor says God's moved away. No, I'm talking about the national blessing. God will be closer to you than ever before. If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And these are days to draw very close to him, and he'll give you the strength and wisdom to tiptoe through the landmines. Because that's kind of how life is. Isn't this a circus? You look at our whole situation, what's going on. Of course, last evening we lost the Supreme Court justice that passed away, that has been a strong conservative voice, and I can see the enemy trying to get in. It says in Matthew 24, iniquity shall abound, and the love of many will grow cold. Because the pressure's on, this is what we're talking about this morning. Because the pressure's on, he says, many will grow cold. Keep your fervency. Spend your time with God. Keep kindling the coal. Throw some more on. Keep the fire going. Because iniquity shall abound. Because there's just pressures and problems everywhere and difficulties. Because iniquity abounds, it says the love of many will grow cold. But he calls us to fervency. Pam's up in Promised Land so I can talk about her. I felt so sorry for her the other day. We're going through some heavy things. You all know that. You're praying for us. No different than any of you. I'm just a bigger baby and talk about it more. But we're all in this together. We're all going through some tough times. We've been having some things lately, and there's been a lot of heavy things in the ministry, valuable things, important things, things I've prayed and waited on, things that I've waited to see God move in. So I don't want to miss the moment. I want to seize the moment. See, devil try to wear you out so you won't seize the moment. Devil try to wear you out so you don't seize the moment. Pam was pretty heavy-hearted the other day, and she's pretty guarded with her feelings, and if she breaks down and cries, that's unusual. And I had to watch this eye and was getting some dust problems, and so she said she'd feed the horses for me. So I really appreciated it. So she went to feed the horses, and if she didn't fall smack head first onto the ice, just bam, her feet went up under. And she fell and thought she broke a rib, and I think it's just bruised maybe, but the point I'm making is sometimes it's just a smaller thing in the course of a day. Don't underestimate the enemy taking a shot at you when you're a follower of Christ. You say, you think he'll do that? He bruised Jesus' heel, but Jesus bruised his head. Jesus is victor. Every now and then, devil will take a swat at you. He'll try to blindside you, and I actually believe that. I'm not one of these guys that goes around, devil made me do it. I'm not one of those guys, but I really did believe when she came in the house, I thought the enemy tried to knock her down. Just sure as anything. He knows she's got a lot on her right now, and this is just one more thing. Anybody have just one more thing? I see y'all share. Just one more thing. All this, and then this has to happen. Why am I bringing that up in a very practical way and even have a little fun with it? Because you can become weary in well-doing. and you can become worn down, and then the enemy wants to take you out. This ain't the time to jump out. There's a storm out there. It's time to hang on. Don't you quit. But Pastor, this addiction eats me alive. And then I had this happen. And then a bill collector called me the other day, and that bill isn't fair. I thought that was completely paid. And here, don't you quit. Don't you quit. The enemy of your soul, Satan himself, wants to undermine you. He wants to take you down. Don't you quit. But Pastor, you don't understand this addiction. I probably don't, but I've had my own. We're all made of the same stuff. These are exciting times. If you draw nigh to God, you'll find that that's true. The people I'm talking to that are really connecting with God right now are having a richness and a blessing. Plus, here's the promise in Joel and repeated again in Acts. In the last days, I will what? I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on your sons and daughters I will pour out my spirit. And I said to the Lord, what's ahead of us at CMO? And he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. And we're going to be used of God in an incredible way to draw people, because we're in the harvest time right before the coming of the Lord. And you know what that is? That's the gleaning of the fields. You know, in the Old Testament, there was the harvest, and then there was the gleaning of the fields at the end, where the poor people came in, and they were supposed, told by the law, to leave the crops in the corners, because that was God's welfare program. Pretty sensible, huh? And you had a field, you weren't to harvest right up to the corners. You were to leave the corners go, because that was for the poor people in the community. Interesting that they had to come in and pick it themselves, though. God's welfare program, pretty smart, huh? We're in the time of the harvest of gleaning the fields. Vince, we're cleaning out the corners. God's calling the people that missed some of the harvest. They were too busy. They were in a false reality. They too buzzed, know God was calling them. And God's saying, hey, I want you anyway. Did you know God's not willing any should perish, but that all will come to repentance? And you know that he so loved the world. And I don't care if you were in a false reality and you weren't in touch. The harvest isn't over, but we're nearing the time of the return of Christ, and he's calling in the highways and hedges people. He's saying, let's get the corners. That's what CMO is. We're getting the corners, and I love it. I love this much. You know why? Because the people that have weathered it out and had the tough stuff, they'll stick to the Lord during the tribulation. Yeah. I got a kick out of something Kevin Smith said. He cracks me up every now and then. Somebody's talking about terrorists come in here. Kevin said, I pity a terrorist if he comes in here. Then you pray for them. Now, we're not being cocky and smart-alecky saying that, but I thought that's interesting. I think most people in New York Church would be a little hesitant to come in here and start trouble. And God has his angels among us to watch over us. We're not least bit worried about that. Cautious and sensible and listen to instruction, but at the same time, very much trusting in the Lord and know that he's going to take care of his own. But I love this church. I love these people, because he who has forgiven much loveth much. He who has forgiven much loveth much. Who was at the cross? Come on. Come on. This is good theology. Who was at the cross? Mary Magdalene. Why? Because she was delivered from seven devils and had been a street woman. And she loved the Lord so much, she said, I don't care what they do to him. I'm sticking by him. And I love people who have been forgiven for so much. And they're so appreciative. They're not leaving the cross. They don't care what kind of threats they get. Imagine a Roman centurion was a little intimidating. They make our Marine Corps look like Boy Scouts, probably. But she didn't leave the cross. Mary Magdalene didn't. And I believe God's sending us a body of believers that have been washed and cleansed. But I want to tell you, the pressures are on. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap. You're going to reap in due season. It's going to come back around. Don't lose heart. I had a time when I was pastoring 25 years ago, and she's with the Lord now. It's Sylvia Willis. How anybody know Sylvia Willis? Sylvia Willis, a few of you. I was just down dragging. I was just dragging. We was going through all kinds of stuff, and I was just dragging low, and we'd gotten a notice from the IRS that we owed them $20,000 because something hadn't been filed right by my tax man, and that was the last straw. And we were living on a limited income and just going through all kinds of difficulties. And I stopped into her house, and she gave me this, and it's on a plaque in my office. I'm going to read it to you. It says, don't quit. I never will forget Sylvia. She said, Tom, I believe I'm supposed to give you this. And this isn't out of the Bible, but it's scriptural. You know what I'm saying? It's based on scriptural truth. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns. That's a fact. As every one of us sometimes learn. And many a failure turns about when we might have won had we stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. And I never will forget, I expect it to be some profound word out of Psalms or Isaiah. She just handed me this, don't you quit. But I believe God would say that to us very, very simply today. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Now, last few moments, I ain't going to talk very long. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it would be worth it. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it would be worth it. Hey, nature itself, God's presence in nature proves to us that the valuable things must be dug for and must be sought for. My friend, are beautiful diamonds hanging on bushes for us to gather in bushel baskets? No, they're deep in the earth and must be dug out and must be chiseled on and shined and buffed. Do we find gold bars hanging from the pine tree and you just pick a bushel of them? No, you go deep into the earth and then gold must be heated and refined and the impurity skimmed off. In the epistles it says, when I am tried, I will come forth as gold. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it would be worth it. Don't you quit. You've come too far. I talked to an individual the other day in our mentoring group. It's really struggling. And I think tempted to throw in the towel. Did you know that God looks at where you started? That's why, my dear Christian brothers and sisters with some maturity, older brothers and sisters, that's why we're to be careful in dealing with people. And that's why we're to be patient and considerate, because God knows where they started. You take some individual that started like Mary Magdalene, 2 years into her walk, my goodness, we need to be careful criticizing her. Well, she ought to be this, she ought to be that. Wait a minute, look where she started. She was a street woman. I couldn't believe how patient I was with some of the inner city people in Chicago that would stumble in, literally. It's the only church I ever pastored where at offering time they went out and took a hit of heroin. Serious. Addictions were so bad in that bunch. But when I realized, and I think one of the reasons God called us to Chicago is to connect with the condition of humanity. To connect with the condition. I needed it. I thought it was to go, and we needed to do it for the sake of the church in Peru, and there were things, I think, that were correct on that. But God did it to deepen me and to connect and to plant some things within me. Pam and I said we would see the depravity and the situation and put us in a raw environment where we realized some things we wouldn't have realized. It was another level of schooling. Interesting how patient I would be with people as I realized where they were starting. My Christian brothers and sisters, when folks come in among us, let us be patient and merciful and kind, recognizing where they started. This person may only be 2 years into this, 5 years into this. But when you look where they started, they've come an incredible long. Maybe they're behind you. Maybe they're not as far as you have come. My goodness, I ought to be up the road a ways, don't you think? My mentors were Jack Robbins and Pastor Bishop. Those were my mentors. I was taught scripture when I couldn't talk plain. We were taught memory verses. We have reel-to-reel tapes, and I think we lost them in the fire, but we had reel-to-reel tapes of us as little kids, Miriam and I, saying memory verses, and we couldn't talk plain. We were real Dutchy. We had the Word of God put into us very young. And I hadn't been a Christian but a year or two, and I was leading Bible studies in my home with lots of knowledge. People said, how did you know all this? I owed it to my parents. No, I ought to be up the road a ways. But I need to be very patient with those that haven't had opportunity. Don't you quit. Be patient with one another. Brian opened the song, opened the service with the song, Love Never Fails. Be patient and kind with each other. All right, quickly. Be down here in a minute. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it'd be worth it. What are some things in my, I could make a list of 30 or 40, easy. But what are some things that I felt these are the ones God gave me for our group, so I believe they have specific meaning for someone this morning? Let's talk about this. Let's very practically talk about this whole wearing out thing. What is it that wears us out, you know? Man, sometimes life's just exhausting. What is it that wears us out? And I think we're all in different stages here, but I feel I'm going to go through these four specifically, and I'll do it quickly. I think some of us are reaping. We're in that stage of reaping some things we've sowed. And it wears us out. Now, let me tell you something. First couple years of my Christian life weren't very fun. I hear people give testimony, oh my goodness, when I became Christian, it was just awesome. Well, mine wasn't that way. Sorry, but it wasn't. I had sowed a lot of bad seed in the 4 or 5 years before I became Christian, and it all started coming home when I became Christian. And I had some pretty unpleasant things to deal with early in my walk. Was I grateful for peace of mind? Yes. Was I grateful for forgiveness? Absolutely. So I'm not downplaying the salvation moment at all. It was awesome to know I was forgiven. It was awesome to know that we could have peace with God and the guilt be gone and we're forgiven. That was awesome. But as far as playing out in everyday life, the first few years of my Christian life were very difficult because I was reaping some things. I'd had a deep root of bitterness for a number of years with the family. There was things to work through. There was people to talk to, apologies to make. And I wasn't out in sin a lot of years, but I did my money's worth in the short time I was. Some of us are in the reaping process. Galatians 6:7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a fact. It's a natural. It's a given. It's gravity. It's the law of gravity. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. Some of us have sowed some pretty lousy seed. Us. Not you, us. We all have. And so there can be some reaping of those things. And if you've lived, I say this with sensitivity, but if you've lived 25 years as an alcoholic, then when you become a Christian and you begin walking with the Lord, there's some consequences, natural consequences of some of those decisions. Be patient. I see Bob shaking his head. If you raised your kids and you weren't saved, there's some consequences. Some of you know that. I say that with sensitivity. You weren't a Christian when your kids were growing up, so you weren't a Christian father, you weren't a Christian mother, so there's some consequences of that. I'm talking about what is it that wears us down? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap the good stuff. This reap what you sow works both ways. I'm in a stage of life now where I'm reaping good things. I've walked with the Lord a number of years, so I'm reaping. I've been a Christian 42 years, so I'm reaping some stuff I decided 15 years ago while walking with the Lord, 20 years ago while walking with the Lord, 5 years ago while walking with the Lord, and that reaping thing's a good thing. But when you first come to the Lord, there's some natural consequence and some things that come in life, and the devil can use that to wear you down. And you hear the testimony of others, maybe they're like I am, and you say, man, he acts like, you know, God's just with him all the time, and God doesn't seem that close to me, not realizing this is a process. Don't you quit. This is a process. It is worth it. He did not say it would be easy. He said it would be worth it. And as you walk with God, that process begins to change and you quit reaping those things from the past. There are some natural consequences. But you know what it says in Psalms 103? He doesn't give us what we deserve. You'll have some consequence, but you're going to get off the hook on some of it. Yeah. He doesn't give us. He doesn't reward us according to our iniquity. He doesn't bounce it out and say, okay, you got to pay for everything you did. No, that's why he went to the cross, to pay for it. But I'm talking to you in a very practical way. There are some natural consequences. If you raised your family and weren't a Christian, there are some things that you're going to deal with when you first come to the Lord. There's going to be some change. But God can restore the years the canker hath eaten. Don't let it wear you down. Go to him with it. Lord, I didn't make good decisions. I wasn't the father that I should be. I wasn't the mother that I should be. Restore that to me, and God will give you an incredible relationship with your adult children. Anybody had that? He'll give you an incredible relationship with your adult children. God's in the restoration business, but sometimes some of that natural reaping can wear us down. So I think it's good to recognize that. Family heartaches. Don't know why the Lord gave me these four. Family heartaches can be incredibly draining. I met with at a restaurant the other day with a precious man that's here this morning. It's a good friend of mine. We have wonderful roots together, but we both have been through a lot in our family. We both have invested a lot in our children, but we've had some difficult trials and difficult crosses to bear. Family heartaches can be incredibly draining. The disappointments of seeing people make mistakes that maybe you have made yourself. The disappointment of seeing routes taken that you know won't work, but your hands are tied. Family heartaches can be very, very draining. Take them to the Lord. Take it to the mercy seat. Inside the holiest of holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Be neat if we could have this displayed in front of us, because even though that's Old Testament, it's so powerful for New Testament principles because Jesus replaced that. There was the Ark of the Covenant, and inside the Ark was Aaron's rod that budded in a pot of manna. Proof of God's power and things for memory to remind them of God's awesome work. The Ten Commandments. On top of the ark was the mercy seat with the cherubims and the horns of the altar where the priest would go in and pray. And when Jesus cried, "It is finished," on the cross, the curtain was torn from top to bottom, not bottom to top, top to bottom, so that we now can go in directly to the mercy seat, into the presence of Christ. Go in to the intimate presence of Jesus daily and take your family heartaches. You can't fix it. The mistakes that have been made have already been made. You can't fix that. The things that are currently going on, you probably can't control unless your children are little. Go into the mercy seat, into the presence of Christ, for it is just that, the place of mercy. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to someone in to speak for you. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom so that you can go in, take those family heartaches in. And God will meet you there. Continually enduring a cross. We're talking about practically stuff that wears you down. Maybe you're here this morning and you have an unsaved spouse. That's a cross. You're following the Lord, but the person that you love the most in life doesn't share that with you. That is a difficult cross to carry. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's compared to Christ and the church. So when there's a breach and there isn't a spouse that's a Christian, but yet there's the awesome relationship and intimacy with God, there's a cross to be carried there that's difficult that you have to experience yourself, I think, to fully understand. Or maybe it's a difficult vocation that you know you're stuck in or you must be in, or circumstances require that you're there and you must stick with it. and it can wear you down, a continual enduring cross. My friend, I invite you again to go into the presence of God daily and take that to Him. And He will strengthen your heart. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Don't you quit. He didn't say it'd be easy. He said it'd be worth it. A difficult relationship. You've sought counseling. You've gone lots of directions, but it's just a difficult relationship. Can be a heavy cross. Let me tell you something about relationships, specifically husband and wife. It'd be awesome if we all meshed just like this, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be nice? Okay. Once in a while you find somebody's like that. Once in a while. Most of us are doing this. And then, you know, kind of God can fill those gaps. And there's some poor souls you meet and they're kind of like this. But God can fill those gaps. And God can satisfy the longings of your heart. Don't go seeking comfort elsewhere. It's not another person. It's not another relationship. It's not a married the wrong person. It's coming in line with Christ. And I have found in our marriage that relationship that maybe starts out like this, and then maybe after a while it's like this, God can begin working in that until you begin blending in a way you never thought possible before, but it's done through going to Him. Things that wear us down, continual enduring cross, the badgering of Satan. I'm almost done. The badgering of Satan. Ephesians chapter 6 says, this isn't the verse yet, Ephesians chapter 6 says, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Paul the apostle, very godly man, very spiritual man, said that because he had revelations above other man, a thorn in the flesh was assigned to him, and he beseeched the Lord three times to deliver him from that thorn, and God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee. The badgering of Satan. You're serious about following the Lord, and he knows, the devil knows you're serious. And there's badgering of Satan. Mom used to say, any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to swim upstream. And you're fighting the current. You're going into a factory where Christian principles certain aren't in play, and the management doesn't treat fairness with Christian principles, and things aren't executed in a way that you understand to be right scripturally, and you're going upstream. And there's the badgering of the enemy because you're a Christian. God is faithful. And that daily trip of time with God into the holiest of holies, don't neglect your quiet time. It's your source of energy now. Last thing I'm going to say is the verse that I have on the wallpaper of my phone for this year. This is my theme for this year. I got it on the wall for you here. And he said to me, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I have that on the wallpaper of my phone, so I see it every time I get my phone out. I feel probably physically and mentally and emotionally weaker than I ever have, stronger in the Lord than I ever have. Don't say that bluffing a bit, stronger in the Lord than I ever have. But physically and emotionally, and part of that's age, part of that's I got a lot of miles on me. We've been through some things. I can speak with authority on this subject of be not weary in well-doing, the wearing out. In fact, in the book of Daniel, it says that the devil tries to wear out the saints. Forgot to pull that verse in, but intended to. In Daniel, it says he'll wear out the saints. We live in the last days. Listen up. We live in the last days, the days of the return of Christ. The love of money is growing cold, and the enemy's out to wear you out. Stand on this verse. I don't think it's just for me. As shepherd of this flock, my grace is sufficient for thee. I don't know what that thing is. It's wearing you down. If it's your present circumstances, if it's the present relationship, if it's all the things, it's some reaping from your past, it's the badgering of the enemy because you're growing spiritually. I don't know all those things. God will have to apply that to you as He will in His own way. But I know that this verse is for us. And it was Paul the Apostle that sought to God, and God gave him this answer: My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Pastor, I can't go in there and work in that office anymore. I can't. I can't go into that factory. I cannot work in there. No. No, you can't. You're right. But His strength is made perfect in your weakness. So, hey, guess what? Go in the morning, punch in, grab hold of this. God will empower you. That's what walk, and this is my last remarks. I come down here in case you went to sleep. Teasing Bobby a little bit. This is what walking in the Spirit is. Is there gifts of the Spirit? Oh, let's not have that argument. Of course. Let's not have that argument. Of course. And there aren't any arguments. Are there movings of the Spirit? Of course. Absolutely. They're awesome. But day in, day out, walking with Christ, this is what it is recognizing my weakness, recognizing that I can get worn down in a moment, but I'm going to draw strength from the Comforter, because the deepest need of the human heart is comfort. And that's what addiction is all about. That's what all these different things we go to is about. We're looking for comfort. That's what it's about. That's why you got to be patient with people. They were just looking for comfort. They were just looking for comfort. Now, it's devastating what that did to you, so we got to be put back together. But we recognize he's looking for comfort. The deepest need of the human heart is comfort. Inappropriate intimacy is people looking for comfort that have a distorted way and probably have been abused themselves. And we can go on and on with the list as people are looking for comfort. When you're in despair, some of these things can be tremendously comforting, but that's not what the Heavenly Father offers. That's not what He wants, and that's not His best for you. Walking in the Spirit. Yes, there'll be gifts from time to time. I've had them. Yes, there'll be revelations. I don't want to spoil it by saying it, but I've had some incredible revelations that would shock you. You, some of you have too. But walking in the Spirit is daily recognizing my weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is made perfect. Don't let that devil disturb you there. He's stomping up there probably trying to get you not to listen. Take your daily time with God. Be not weary in well-doing. These are days that wear you out. I won't ask for a show of hands how many of us wore out. But God made me feel this way for a reason. This morning that we needed it. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you dare quit. It's easy, but it's worth it. And my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I will therefore glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us, grace and blessings. Ask that you would take these words and use them today. May they be anointed. We recognize that anything I've said in the flesh is a waste of time. It has to be used by your Holy Spirit. I would ask that you'd use these words and encourage that one that may be discouraged this morning. Thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing in this body of believers. Encourage our hearts this morning. Now may the Lord bless and keep you, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.